This podcast episode is powered by AfriPods, the world's number one podcasting platform for African stories.
Thank you so much for joining us. My name is Chico. This is the Leadership Forum. And with me in studio is Dr. David Oginde. We call him Bishop Emeritus. And of course, it's good to see you, sir.
Thank you.
Karibu sana.
Asante sana.
How have you been?
I've been very well, actually, by God's grace.
Yes.
Yeah, the last time I was here, I had homa kidogo, but now I'm fine.
God has healed you.
I'm healed in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Yes.
We are very grateful. Today, I was joking with you off here, it's like God doesn't want you to end this leadership perspective.
Well, it is everything we talk about actually is a perspective of leadership. Yeah. It's just that we don't call it so. And there are those specific factors that form what we would call a leadership perspective. But really, whatever we have been talking about here is a perspective on leadership.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Before we get to the topic of the day, and I know quite a number of people will be waiting to watch this, kindly just note, this is not going to be airing live right now. It's going to be airing live on our social media platforms later. So kindly watch out for that. But please tell a friend to tell a friend because we are live on radio. And I'm going to ask Dr. Bishop Oginde to tell us what are his thoughts. We are celebrating Mashujaa Day today. Kindly tell us your thoughts on that.
On what?
On Mashujaa? On Mashujaa, yes.
Oh, okay. On Mashujaa or Mashujaa Day?
Yes.
Well, the celebration of heroes is not a new thing. It's not a Kenyan thing.
Yes.
Even when you read through the scriptures, you see people being celebrated because of the things that they have done.
Yes.
Hebrews 11, for example, gives a list of men and women who stood up for the faith.
Yes.
And the writer to the Hebrews talked about people who by faith did this, by faith this, by faith they conquered kingdoms, by faith they shut the mouths of lions, by faith. And it is really a list of the men and women who stood out in their time for what they believed and how they trusted God to take them through some very challenging situations. But because they looked up to God, they were able to do some things that ordinary people would not do.
Yes.
And you can really call that particular chapter as a Mashujaa chapter, you know?
Yes.
What is amazing about that chapter particularly is towards the end where he talks about those who had faith on pursuing particular things, but they never received. Then it never came to pass.
Yes.
But they are still listed among the Mashujaas of in the Hall of Fame.
Yes.
In Hebrews chapter 11. So what it means is that sometimes the we celebrate men and women who have achieved something.
Yes.
But there are people who are shujaas because of just what they believed and trusted for, even though they did not actually achieve it. And in the end, the foundation that they lay, some other people came and built on it and became the shujaas of their own time. So it's a good time to reflect and just look at, in our case as a nation, men and women who have made a difference in this nation.
Yes.
And considering the season that we are in, we are not just in on the Mashujaa Day, but we are also mourning the passing on of Honorable Raila Odinga.
Yes.
And there's a sense in which you can say he never achieved his ambition of being the president of the country. He could be in that those final chapters of Hebrews 11,
yes.
You know,
yes.
Who never realized their ambition, their dream. But when you look at some of the things that he was able to achieve indirectly, it's really amazing. So he could still fit within that Hall of Fame. And for me, it is a great encouragement that whatever God has called us to pursue, mm-hmm. let us do it with all our hearts. Sometimes it may not be us mm-hmm. who will realize it, but yeah. we can plant mm-hmm. and some water, and then some will harvest in the future. Mm-hmm. So we want to celebrate those people who have stood for this nation. Yes. Some people lost their lives mm-hmm. So that we can enjoy the space that we enjoy today. Mm-hmm. I was talking with some young people, and they can't imagine a situation where you could not talk, you know. You could not express yourself. How? I mean, that we used to talk in whispers in our houses mm-hmm. because if you say anything, and the kind of things that we used to say was compared to what people are saying today.
Online, yes.
I mean, it was nothing.
Yes.
And yet it cost people's lives. People were killed. People were detained.
Tortured.
People were tortured
mm-hmm.
for saying very small things, for little things.
Yes.
Now people are saying anything and they go and sleep in their houses.
Mm-hmm.
So that did not just happen. It happened because there are people who came out and stood up and fought, some losing their lives
mm-hmm.
so that we can now enjoy what we are enjoying today. So it should be a moment of reflection and just thanking God for those men and women, for their courage and their commitment to winning for us the liberation that we have today.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Asante sana, Bishop. I like what you have said about young people not imagining.
No, they can't actually.
I remember like when the late Honorable Raila, when he passed on, of course, there are people who will find every opportunity to speak negatively. And as I was reading, I was saying, they don't even know that the freedom that they have to speak so freely is because he paid the price.
It's true.
Yes.
It's true. They don't.
They don't. They have no idea. They just think you people are cowards for nothing. You don't like talking. They say millennials are cowards. And Anyway, before we get into the topic of the day, allow me to play this and then we can start officially.
Okay.
This is the Leadership Forum.
Consider, if everybody did what you are doing, the world be a better place. That's a principle for just checking whether what you're doing is correct.
Welcome to the Leadership Forum, where we explore principles, practices, and perspectives of effective leadership.
Yes, and of course, today we are talking about the Raila leadership perspective. But even before we get to the leadership, I know that there are a lot of people who are listening in who are really mourning. And I like the fact that you're the one here, because you will not only speak and tell us about his leadership, but you can also speak to the soul. There's a day I was here, I think the day he died, and somebody, Tess was reading the news. And one of the clips that came, it actually made me break down, because somebody was saying, my life is over, I'm finished. And I saw the devastation from how they spoke. And so I'd like to just ask you, please speak to the soul of somebody who is feeling like, because of what has happened, of course, the late Raila Odinga being a hope for a lot of people. You know that there is a change that is coming. And now, like you have said, he may not have realized it, but please speak to that person before we get into the...
In fact, we are going to talk about that in the course of our discussion on this leadership.
Okay.
But just from a point of view of those who are mourning,
mm-hmm.
you know, it is very interesting that mm-hmm. sometimes when we are mourning...
Mm-hmm.
Some people don't understand. You may have lost your father, your mother,
yes.
your brother, your cousin, or mm-hmm. even a distant friend, and
mm-hmm.
you're so broken down.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody is looking at you and wondering,
mm-hmm.
what's the big deal?
Mm-hmm.
He was not even your friend, he was just a friend.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And somebody said, just a friend.
Yes.
The worst is when you lost a grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
Who was 100 years old.
Oh, they tell you he was 100.
It's just, he was 100. What did you expect?
Oh my God.
They don't appreciate mm-hmm. that there's a connection mm-hmm. that is not based on age.
Oh yeah.
It's not based on years. Mm-hmm. It's not based on distance.
Yes.
You know? Mm-hmm. I remember when there was a friend, mm-hmm. an ambassador friend, mm-hmm. The ambassador of Zambia.
Yes.
The ambassador of Zambia died here in Kenya in a road accident. Mm-hmm. And we had developed some friendship with her mm-hmm. Because when she reported to Kenya,
yes,
somehow I think somebody told her to check out Sitam, mm-hmm. and I was the senior pastor at the time.
Yes,
and so she came, and at the end of the service, she said, "I'm so and so, and I've come. I've just been posted here as an ambassador, and I've been told about your church. I would like to join this." So mm-hmm. we talked, and she joined the church. Mm-hmm. Eventually, she moved to Nairobi Chapel, mm-hmm. And they started a church. You know, planted a church in Lovington.
Yes,
with a husband. Mm-hmm. But we continued to really talk and do things together. Mm-hmm. And then she died in this tragic road accident.
Oh.
And I remember, I was listening to Hope FM. I mm-hmm. still remember very clearly somewhere near Valley Arcade, my radio was on mm-hmm. and I'm on the road and I hear that the ambassador is dead,
oh.
died on Mombasa Road. And suddenly, it's like the clouds covered, you know?
Yeah,
it became dark.
Yeah.
You know, it mm-hmm. became dark. Then I was coming into a junction and trying to get into the junction to drive. Mm-hmm. And I'm seeing people walking around and driving. And I'm thinking, you're just walking around and driving.
Like nothing,
has happened. Do you know what has actually happened?
Yes.
Because for me, it was so devastating.
Yes.
It was so bad. Mm. But people are just going about their duties. They're mm-hmm. just going about their... And if somebody was to meet me there and say, it's not even your relative.
Mm-hmm.
You don't even have any connection. Mm-hmm. I mean, this ambassador of Zambia.
Yes.
But... that connection, that relationship that we had with her mm-hmm. was such that I couldn't imagine that she was actually dead.
Mm.
So sometimes we talk very carelessly
mm-hmm.
When a person is grieving.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like in this case, mm-hmm. somebody can tell, but he was not your father.
Mm-hmm.
You don't even know him personally. You had mm-hmm. never even met him. So what is the problem?
Mm-hmm.
What is the issue? But you don't know what that person meant.
Them, yeah.
mm-hmm. They may never have met, but there's a hope that they brought to this particular individual
mm-hmm.
That when they saw him or they heard him or, you know,
mm-hmm.
they just felt assured.
Mm-hmm.
And now that the person is gone, it's like their world has collapsed. Just like mm-hmm. the person you're saying was saying on radio,
mm-hmm.
that their world has collapsed. You can't go and tell that person, collapse how? Mm-hmm. He was not your dad. He was not your relative.
Mm-hmm.
No. That is very, very, would be very unfortunate.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It's not being sensitive
yes.
To individuals. So there are people who are genuinely mourning
mm-hmm.
and have genuinely lost
mm-hmm.
a loved one,
mm-hmm.
you know, just like they would lose a father, a brother, a sister.
Mm-hmm.
For some of them, maybe Raila was even closer than their relatives.
Because they listen to him every other day.
Yes.
Mm.
So the only thing, therefore, we can tell the people who are mourning
mm-hmm.
is that death sometimes comes to us at a very unexpected moment.
Mm-hmm.
But it is part of the reality of life
yes.
that we face. It reminds us of our mortality.
Mm-hmm.
And the only person who understands what we are feeling or what we are going through
mm-hmm.
is a God who gives life.
Very true.
You know, He's mm-hmm. the one who gave us the life, and mm-hmm. he's the one who takes it away.
Mm-hmm.
And he understands the pain that we go through.
Yes.
And he is the one who's also able to give us comfort.
Mm-hmm.
When Jesus went to the home of Martha and Mary, when their brother died,
mm-hmm.
Lazarus, the Bible says that Jesus wept.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. when they were weeping
mm-hmm.
and people were crying,
yes.
he did not just say, "Oh, now you people, why are you crying? Mm-hmm. This is just normal." You know,
mm-hmm.
he wept. Why mm-hmm. did he weep? Because he saw
mm-hmm.
the pain and the loss that they were experiencing.
Mm-hmm.
And so he identified with them.
Yes.
And he's the one who also taught us, weep with those who weep, mourn with those who mourn.
Mm-hmm.
And so God is there.
Mm-hmm.
He will take us through the next phase of life.
Yes.
And we can only pray that God gives you comfort.
Comfort, yeah.
At the point of your need. Because we are affected differently.
Very true.
Very, very differently.
Mm-hmm.
From the immediate family,
mm-hmm.
For who they have lost a real person,
a father, a husband,
mm. you know, it is different.
Yes.
To those of us who have lost a leader,
mm-hmm.
to those people who are rejoicing at
yeah.
the other end. And that is the sad reality, that there are people who are very happy that Raila is no more,
mm.
you know, and it is very unfortunate, but it is the reality. But in this, all of this, God is in control.
Yes.
God is in control, you know. He's the one who can give us that comfort. So may God's grace,
mm-hmm.
peace, and comfort keep each and every one of us
mm-hmm.
At this time when we mourn the life of Raila Odinga. Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. As you're speaking, I'm remembering Psalm 23 says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me."
Very true.
You said God is the only one who can help us. So the knowing that God is with us should help us hold on.
It's true.
Yes.
Yes.
Mm.
Because people will misunderstand you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you know that in this country people have fought over elections and killed one another?
Very true. Yeah.
And the person you are killing others for, you don't even know them. They don't even know you.
Very true.
But there's that connection
mm-hmm.
that is so strong
mm-hmm.
that if you hear somebody say anything or do anything against that person,
yeah.
you feel like you can kill them.
Mm-hmm.
So now what about if that person is dead? Yeah.
It can be
very devastating.
Devastating, yeah.
Very devastating. So we understand, and God will give us the grace to forbear.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Asante sana.
Asante.
Asante. I think maybe I really felt I lost my father last year.
Mm-hmm.
So when I had the news, it was I imagined how his children were feeling. And I think it's honor to treat somebody well. You know, even sometimes in Nairobi, you may not talk to someone, but when you hear someone has lost a loved one, like the Bible says, you extend. So I pray that people would understand that and just be kind to the family and to the people who have, looked up to Honorable Raila, because he was not just an ordinary man, he was a great man.
Mm-hmm, he was.
Yes.
Indeed.
Thank you so much.
Indeed.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
So right now we get into his style of leadership or his perspective leadership.
Yes. As I was thinking about today and
mm-hmm.
Considering that season that we are in,
mm-hmm.
and we have been for the last, did you say 12? Also sessions that we have had.
Yes. They were 12.
We just been forever, you know. Forever we have been talking about this perspective to leadership. And we finished
mm-hmm.
in our last session.
Yes.
So today we would have started on something different.
Mm-hmm.
But then I thought, well, we have been talking about perspective of leadership.
Mm-hmm.
And Raila has been really a great person in mm-hmm. this country.
Mm-hmm.
He is in the news almost every day,
yes.
literally every
mm-hmm.
day.
Mm-hmm.
And he has influenced a lot of things that have happened in the country.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, why don't we take those perspectives mm-hmm. of leadership that we have been talking about
mm-hmm.
and use them as lenses to look at Honorable Raila's leadership and mm-hmm. just see what is it that made him who he is
mm-hmm.
Or who he was, and see if we could learn something out of that.
Yes.
Now, this was done very quickly, so I wouldn't say that I have really given his depth of thought,
mm-hmm.
But it would be something that actually would be worth studying
mm-hmm.
Because we have studied the leadership of different individuals. I know when I was doing my PhD, I compared the life of the leadership of Hitler
mm-hmm.
and Churchill
mm-hmm.
and great leaders of the past. And it was very, very interesting
mm-hmm.
to just see how they looked at leadership, how they practiced their leadership in the context that they were in, because mm-hmm. they were contemporaries
mm-hmm.
facing almost similar kind of challenges within a world that was getting into war.
Mm-hmm.
And how did these two people approach leadership, and what made one great and the other one really a person that people can only refer negatively to?
Yes.
So I thought this would be a good study
mm-hmm.
For those of us who are in the leadership space
mm-hmm.
to actually look at and see what was behind Raila's leadership. Maybe if my life allows, I would want to dig a little more. But mm-hmm. just looking at it superficially, as it were, from a bird's eye view,
mm-hmm.
I thought we could consider some of the issues that we have been discussing in leadership perspectives and see how they might have applied to his life and his style of leadership.
Yes.
Because when I look at, maybe first before I say that,
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't authoritatively
mm-hmm.
be an autobiographer for Raila, because I didn't interact with him
mm-hmm.
closely enough to tell his story.
Mm-hmm.
But I had a few encounters with him at
yes.
a personal level.
Mm-hmm.
There are some encounters we had at group level, occasions and so on. But on one-on-one, I maybe three or four times that I had opportunity to be with him on one-on-one,
mm-hmm.
Especially in times of crisis within the nation,
mm-hmm.
Where we are trying to see how to give direction to the nation, how to sort out some of the challenges that we are facing.
Yes.
And in those moments, I got to see his approach to issues,
mm-hmm.
his perspectives into how things happen
mm-hmm.
and what are those things that he considered important, and in I think most of those occasions that I got opportunity to talk to him, I was not even a bishop, I was a pastor,
mm-hmm.
But by God's grace I was involved in the church leadership, not Sitam, but the whole church in the country.
Yes.
And so that is what brought us together to look at some of these things
mm-hmm.
and just interact with him as a person who was leading a big following in the country
mm-hmm.
and who was an opinion shaper in terms of what happens.
Mm-hmm.
So it was interesting to see how he responded to situations, how he acted in different circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is with that kind of a background that I will be sharing some of the thoughts and reflections in his leadership.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I would say about his leadership was his life and leadership, from where I sit and the little that I saw or observed at different levels, was principle.
He was a principled man.
A very principled person, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
That's why sometimes people would push him to go in particular directions.
Mm-hmm.
But he would not go
mm-hmm.
because he wants to keep his word.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to do what he believes is right.
Yes.
And sometimes it doesn't matter whether you think it is right or not.
Mm-hmm.
But once he has considered that this is what I want is right,
mm-hmm.
he will pursue it.
Yes.
That's what a principled person does.
Mm-hmm.
A principled person is not a person who is swayed by every wind of doctrine, you know.
Yes.
Whatever. Somebody says this and you are there. Somebody says that and you have changed your mind and
yes.
so on. You know,
mm-hmm.
a principled person is a person you have considered what you want to do,
mm-hmm.
considered where you want to go, and you go in spite of what everybody else may be thinking.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean that you don't take into account advice. You don't take into account new ideas and new developments that come.
Mm-hmm.
You could adjust your position,
mm-hmm.
but it is after very careful consideration.
Wow.
And again, that's something you see in Raila's leadership.
Mm-hmm.
He was able to adjust his position if he felt it was going to achieve that which he was pursuing all along.
Oh, like the way he backed up, I think it was in 2000, Mwai Kibaki.
Yes.
I think he's the one who said he
Kibaki
wanted
Tosha.
To be president.
Yes.
Himself, he wanted to be president. But he said, no, we need to come together. Wow, I like that.
Yes, like that 2002
mm-hmm.
Was a very critical moment for the nation.
Mm-hmm.
And those of you who lived, those of us who lived under the Moi government,
mm-hmm.
you know, Moi was a master politician.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we may ever have such a person again.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of playing politics,
mm-hmm.
you couldn't beat him.
Wow.
You mm-hmm. couldn't beat him.
Mm-hmm.
So even though the democratic space had been opened up
mm-hmm.
From 92
mm-hmm.
to 2002, which is 10 years, he kept taking people left,
round.
Right, you know, and they would just fall by the wayside.
Mm-hmm.
So even in 2002, when he said he was no longer going to run for presidency and
mm-hmm.
he brought up Uhuru as his candidate,
mm-hmm.
people still believe that there is something, a card that he's holding under the table.
Yes.
That he'll just pull at the right time.
Yes.
And so the opposition needed to strategize
mm-hmm.
and see how do we navigate this situation.
Mm-hmm.
Because Moi could pull a fast one on us.
Mm-hmm.
And so there were several of them who wanted to be president, Raila being one of them,
yes.
Kibaki being another one, Wamalwa
mm-hmm.
was there,
mm-hmm.
and several others.
Yes.
But the feeling was that if we don't come together,
mm-hmm.
this is not going to work.
Very true.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, but people are not willing to lay down their ambitions, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like Raila, from where he sat,
mm-hmm.
he felt that the equation here that could work is
mm-hmm.
if Kibaki
yes.
be the candidate.
Mm-hmm.
And so from what we understand is that they had a meeting at Serena Hotel
mm-hmm.
Where they had agreed on something.
Mm-hmm.
But on the way,
in the middle,
changed his mind.
Mm-hmm.
And he said Kibaki would be the one.
Mm-hmm.
And so he went out there and said Kibaki Tosha.
Mm-hmm.
And where you see the issue of principle is
mm-hmm.
the fact that his colleagues were not very happy.
Yeah.
Some of his colleagues were not very happy with that declaration.
Mm-hmm.
But from that point, he took the front line in campaigning for Kibaki.
Yes.
Because Kibaki soon after had an accident had and was in hospital actually all through the campaign period. But Raila campaigned for him across the country
mm-hmm.
as if it was his personal campaign.
Yeah,
and made sure that Kibaki actually won that election.
Mm-hmm.
That you only do as a matter of principle.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, he would have, when Kibaki had this accident,
he would have changed his mind.
This is my opportunity,
yes.
You know? Mm. And he could have changed and said, now that our candidate is sick,
mm-hmm.
maybe we should need to change course and do something. And it's possible that he could have turned the tide towards himself.
Yes.
But he stood with that and campaigned until Kibaki mm-hmm. won that election and became president. And so I was just saying that he was a man of principle,
yes.
committed to justice,
mm-hmm.
Democracy, transformation. Those are the things that he really looked at. So when we look at this from our leadership
mm-hmm.
Lenses, there are several things that come up that we can then talk about.
Mm-hmm.
He had this conviction on democracy.
Yes.
Which through the years
mm-hmm.
is what he has really fought for.
Yes.
Democratic space. And as we're talking earlier, you know, some of our young people don't know.
they
don't understand what mm-hmm. how this all came about.
Mm-hmm.
But people like Raila, not that he did it alone,
mm-hmm.
but he was a champion of the same
mm-hmm.
together with others.
Yes.
And they were willing to lay down their lives
mm-hmm.
so that this could happen.
Yes.
And it happened. And it did happen.
Mm-hmm.
So the constitutional review
mm-hmm.
process, which brought about the democratic space we are talking about,
mm-hmm.
was really championed, and the person at the center of it was Raila Odinga. It was Raila Odinga. He
mm-hmm.
he fought for it against all odds.
Mm-hmm.
And for him, I think two things that he stood for in the constitution making process, as far as I know.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, I was in Bomas as a delegate.
Yes.
And so I saw some of the debates and discussions and the pursuits. But one of them, the major one, was the whole thing of devolution.
Mm-hmm.
That government must be taken to the people,
mm-hmm.
resources must be taken to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
There was serious opposition to that thought.
Yes.
Very serious opposition.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the chair of the devolution committee was killed during that time.
Mm-hmm.
But he believed that resources must go to the ground. And he has continued to say it even now.
Yeah, the other day I had a video of him saying that the current governor of Nairobi cannot do so much because some roads are not in his,
under the county governor.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. So he was saying, what kind of devolution is this?
Yeah.
And wow.
Yeah, he was committed to that. And part of the reason is what would used to happen at the time was that there was this saying,
mm-hmm.
siasa mbaya,
maisha mbaya.
Maisha mbaya.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, if you didn't play your politics well
mm-hmm.
as a region, then you would suffer the consequences. There would be no development in your area. There would mm-hmm. be no roads being done. There would be no, you know, everything.
Mm-hmm.
So your region could literally die as a result. And so there were very many marginalized
mm-hmm.
regions of the country,
mm-hmm.
sections of the country, simply because they were not in government.
Mm-hmm.
Or they voted the wrong way,
mm-hmm.
Or their leaders
didn't have a representative.
They didn't have a representative. Well, they have represent, but they're not in the
government.
Talking about some current issues, you know, they were not shareholders, as it were.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. in the government, so mm-hmm. you don't get anything because you did not vote the right way.
Mm-hmm.
Your leaders are not towing the line, and so on and so forth. So sections of this country for years
mm-hmm.
were actually totally marginalized. And they had no development going on.
Mm-hmm.
you could, the economic activities in those regions were just dead.
Mm-hmm.
And so his perspective was like, let's have a system where it doesn't matter who is
the leader.
Mm-hmm. Resources will still go to the people in an equitable manner.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the devolution idea came in. And it has transformed the country.
Yes, it does.
So now you go anywhere in this country, our only problem is corruption.
Corruption.
Because the people now we put in charge of those resources,
mm-hmm.
instead of using it to develop the people on the ground,
mm-hmm.
Are just converting it to their own money.
Mm-hmm.
So that is one thing that drove him.
Mm-hmm.
And he has gone to the grave fighting for
mm-hmm.
that these resources go to the ground. You know, he was talking about a big percentage
mm-hmm.
of government budget
yes.
should go to the counties,
mm-hmm.
Still in that kind of spirit. The other one was the freedoms
mm-hmm.
that he pursued in mm-hmm. That people should be free.
Oh, so the Bill of Rights. Speech.
Yes, the Bill of Rights was mm-hmm. another big thing that he stood for in the constitution process. And that was because of the suffering that people had suffered,
yeah.
you know, gone through
mm-hmm.
where you could not talk, you could not associate, you could mm-hmm. not, you know, there are so many rights mm-hmm. that were denied the people
mm-hmm.
and the feeling that these are fundamental rights that must not depend on a human being.
Yes.
They should not depend on the leader.
Mm-hmm.
They should not depend on who is in government.
Yes.
They should flow freely. And so we see that freedom. In fact, for us, I think maybe we even went overboard because now our freedoms are, some of it is too much.
We are using our freedom against other people, again, people of the same country, very
yes,
badly.
It is. You know, when I was in Nyayo Stadium for the funeral service
mm-hmm.
on Friday.
Yes.
Was it Friday? Yes, it was Friday.
Yes, it was.
It was Friday. And I felt very sad. I felt very sad as a nation.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because as we were gathered there with all kinds of leaders from different sections of this society, from the diplomatic community, from the business sector, from government, and then we have guests who mm-hmm. are coming from other countries
mm-hmm.
To come and join us. And the whole time the program was running,
mm-hmm.
people were just making noise.
Oh.
You could hardly hear what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are running around. The national anthem is being played and people are running around. The preacher is preaching and people are making noise. Leaders stand to talk. You can hardly hear what they are saying.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, where did we lose it?
I thought, you know, online, for us online, we could only hear the person on the microphone.
Oh, you should be glad. In fact, yeah, when I watched I watched the news and so on, and I thought, I should have been at home. It was really bad.
Ooh.
It was really bad. Those of us who are on the ground,
mm-hmm.
you could hardly hear anything. Because these people are just making noise.
Mm-hmm.
They're just doing their thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, then why did you come?
To ruin.
So at mm-hmm. one point, one of the masters of ceremony, I think from the church, tried to appeal to the people. Please give people a chance to say what they want to say.
Mm.
This is a solemn moment. Let's respect one another and so on and so forth. Nobody was listening. You saw what happened in Kasarani.
Yeah.
What happened at the airport? What happened at the... So there's a sense in which our freedoms...
Bishop, let me just say before you... the saddest thing I saw yesterday, I was in church and then we had a, but the saddest thing I saw was people trampling over where Honorable Raila had been buried.
Oh, I missed that one. Oh,
it was really bad. I said, you know, if you love someone, then at least honor them. And
right.
Also honor the family. Because, you know, like I said, maybe najieka hapo because I lost my father last year. You're thinking, what is Mama Ida thinking when it's her husband who is being buried and there are people making noise, causing, you know, I think even in our mourning, we should also honor the person who has died and also honor the family.
No, that wasn't, that's not mourning.
Oh.
To me, I would not say that what was happening in these various places was mourning.
Okay.
I've been to mourning. In fact, the Ida herself issued a statement and calling on people to be more respectful, be peaceful. And she said, I was at Winnie Mandela's funeral. I was at President Mandela's funeral. I was at Magufuli's funeral. And we never saw anything like this.
Ooh.
People were orderly. People were peaceful. Are you saying that people did not mourn Mandela?
They did.
Are you saying people did not mourn Winnie Mandela? You know, Mandela was an icon at another level. We can confidently say beyond where Raila was.
Yes, yes.
For the South Africans, it was a great loss.
Yes.
But they were orderly. So it is not an issue of mourning. I have talked before about the importance of mourning and why we should not dismiss people who are mourning. It is a disorderliness that has come into us as a society. And it is not just those who, that day. You have seen doctors on strike. And they are rolling on the streets. You know?
Oh, Kenyans on Twitter. We are
Kenyans on Twitter. I mean, that is where we have lost it completely.
Yes.
So that freedom that we fought for, that freedom that people like Raila fought for, is now being abused. You know?
Yes, very true.
It is being abused in a very bad way. I was thinking the president is seated there. No matter what you think about him, president is president.
Very true.
No matter what you think about him, you may not like him, you may not appreciate him, but there's a respect. He has his guests who have come to mourn with him.
Yeah.
And now there's this, even when the president was talking, those people are making so much noise. So much noise. Thank God for you who was watching.
As we only had, I think the only time we had people is when Mama Ida was talking and possibly she would mention something and people would,
respond.
Respond, yeah.
Yeah, those were the good times. But it was, I just felt sad myself that as a nation, as a people, there's something we have lost. The sense of dignity, the sense of order, the sense of respect for one another, the honor, and all those. We never used to be like that.
No.
Kenyans, we were very respectable. In fact, we were known all over the world.
Yeah.
In the few times that I traveled in those days, you go somewhere and you say you're a Kenyan and people receive you with such honor, with such respect. We honor you people, you are so respectful, you are so loving, you are so kind. Those who had been to our country were like, oh, you are so hospitable.
Yes.
You know?
And that's why we have so many foreigners in our nation.
In our country.
Yeah.
But now some of them are leaving because of our disrespect.
Yes.
In fact, somebody wrote one of these things that people write on WhatsApp and it was circulating around. And I agreed with them 100%. And basically what they were saying, this was a time that people were really attacking President Suluhu. And they say, yes, President Suluhu may have made mistakes in terms of how she's conducting herself and how she has treated some of our Kenyans and so on. But the level of insults and caricaturing and all those things that we have done to an external president is not right. And we are doing this for other people. So this person, I don't know whether man or but said, it was a long post, but they said that Nigerians got into this place in the same way.
Ooh.
Where you go anywhere and you say you are Nigerian and doors close.
Even getting a visa.
Even getting a visa. I have been with my Nigerian friends. I remember one time we were going to South Africa with a Nigerian friend. We were going for a Christian meeting. So I present my passport and
you get
processed and I pass. He comes, he gives his passport and he's held.
Ooh.
He's Nigerian. So he's told to step aside. He was not allowed in until the following day. After we got South Africans to go and plead and ask and say this is one of our Christian leaders and so on. And the following day is when he was released to come in. They were going to send him back. Just because he is
a Nigerian.
Not anything. He has not done anything. He's not carrying drugs. This is a Christian leader I'd known for a very long time. But just because he's Nigerian. I was in a meeting recently in China.
Yes.
You know?
Bishop, let us just
pause
there.
Yes.
But I like where this is going. When you come back, I'll remind you the story of China. I think you're telling us Raila fought for freedoms, but we should handle the freedoms responsibly.
The only way we can honor him.
Yes. Right now, let me allow Melissa to tell us some of the stories making headlines. We'll be back. Thank you so much.
Experience the hope, the music, the anointing. This is Hope FM, where you listen and live.
So that is Dawn Moore and fading out there. The song is Sing for Joy. A very good afternoon. It's actually 14 minutes after 12. Asante sana for keeping it right here where you listen and live. With me in studio is Dr. David Oginde. And he has really lit up a fire. You have lit up a fire because a lot of people are responding to what you were saying. And before we went on off air for the news, you were talking about freedom. Our freedom should have responsibility. And you said something about China. Yes.
Oh, okay. No, I was still on the Nigeria story. And this is not because I look down on Nigeria.
No.
But it is just the reputation that has been built over time that is so negative. So I was saying that there was a time when, not too long ago, there was an anti-corruption conference in China that brought anti-corruption bodies from across the world. And so during tea break, it was this cocktail type. So you stand at a table and you just talking as you take tea. So we were at this table and there were, I think, two or three Nigerians at the table and a few other people from other countries. So we just quickly introduced ourselves and I said, I'm from Kenya. And then these Nigerians turned to us, to me, and they say, you know, we admire you Kenyans. We really admire you Kenyans. You have such a good reputation across the world. You know, you can go anywhere and they went on and on. It's not like us Nigeria. The moment you mention Nigeria, doors just close on your face. These Nigerians themselves saying. And people already see you as a drug dealer, as a thief, as a disorderly person. And the Nigeria tag is so bad on us. You know, and so he was comparing Nigeria and Kenya, and the other countries who were at the same table were just looking on and hearing, and then they were like, how did you get here? And they say it was our own making. These
it's
are Nigerians
their own making.
Themselves saying, this is our own making, because Nigerians, we have become so unruly, and so on and so forth. So when this person wrote the article I was talking about on WhatsApp,
yes,
and said we could find ourselves there, I totally agreed. Because we are becoming so unruly and uncouth, especially on social media, that it will get to that time there where we would want to go anywhere. And the moment you produce your Kenyan passport, you cannot have access. When you go to get a visa, you will not get it.
Because they don't want your bad morals
to
corrupt.
Their bad behaviors to come. You know?
Yes.
And these days, for example, you are looking for an international job. Then you go for interviews. You know, they check your social media.
Yes, yes.
And not even just international, even local. These days, employers check your social media handle. What have you been saying there? What have you been posting? And you find yourself, you're not getting a job. Of course, nobody will tell you because of what you are doing in social media. They'll just write to you and say, if they write, unfortunately, you are not successful. But they won't tell you why.
They should.
No, they don't. Normally they don't. My employers don't tell you why you did succeed. They just, you just get a regret. But behind the scene is because of your social media. It's because of what you had posted there. You know? And people are looking and say, do we really want this person in our company? Do you want this person in working for us? If this is what they can do online. You know? So we are using the freedoms that we fought for, or that these people fought for, people like Raila fought for and gave their lives to destroy ourselves.
Yeah.
You know? We are destroying ourselves. So I see the language that people are using online, and they can say anything to anybody.
Yeah.
There is no level of decorum. There's no level of respect. There's not any level of anything. I don't know whether I've said this here, because something that traumatized me, really. I used to be very active on Twitter then.
Yes.
I took a break, which was supposed to be 1 year, but now it's almost 3 years. But I was very, very active on Twitter some time back.
Yes.
So I saw this person who was posting some very nasty things in there on her Twitter handle about the government. I was not in government. I was an ordinary Kenyan. But I just thought, this is not how you communicate, even if you have a point.
Yes.
So I just tried to check the profile. Who is this person? The profile itself didn't tell me much, but I tried to look for this person, and I found he was a university student girl, University of Nairobi. So I took it upon myself, because part of the reason I went online was to do pastoring.
Yes.
That is what actually took me there.
Yes.
So this was part of what I used to do. So I tried to find this person, and finally I got her. And I said, I have noticed what you are posting on this. So I told her, you know, at this point, you are a student at the university. And unfortunately, you are hiding behind the anonymity of the social media to say things that you should not be saying at your age.
Yes.
Just remember that when you finally graduate, you will be looking for a job. And some of the employers will be checking your handle to find out what kind of person that you are. So be very careful how you conduct yourself on the social media. For whatever it is worth, that's all I wanted to say. Well, she responded back and said, thank you. I'll be more careful. Some of us are doing crazy things. Another one I did was for somebody that is very prominent.
I was thinking she would respond badly. I think I'm shocked that
no,
she
this
said
was
thank
on
you.
The side. It was not online.
Oh, okay.
Online, of course, I would have got beaten up, eaten alive.
Yes.
Not just by her, but by others
other
also.
People,
this
yeah.
was behind the tent, like we say these days.
Yes.
I just tried to trace, and I actually got her, I think it was her email address,
mm-hmm.
and wrote this to her
wow.
privately.
Mm-hmm.
So they responded positively.
Mm-hmm.
So the other one was a very prominent person, very active on online. And again, they were just spewing this kind of thing. So I said, seriously, at your level,
mm-hmm.
we expect better than this.
Mm-hmm.
You should be giving us direction. You should mm-hmm. be helping us to think through things more critically because of your level,
mm-hmm.
where you are, your stature. That one I said online,
mm-hmm.
and I was expecting fireworks, you know. Mm-hmm. To my surprise, they responded very positively and took that. And from there on, they just changed the way they were talking.
Then why did you quit X?
You know, one of the the main reason I took a break
yes.
is that those things are addictive.
Oh, yeah.
So every time I woke up in the morning,
mm-hmm.
I was just thinking, what do I post today? Before I even go for my devotions
yes.
or take my breakfast,
mm-hmm.
I'm just thinking. So I realized, hey, this thing is becoming addictive.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible says I should not be a slave to anything.
Yes.
So I thought, let me take a break for 1 year
mm-hmm.
so that I take charge of myself. Then I'll come back. I have not yet come back. But I went there with a very specific purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So some people would ask me, oh, people call you names and you don't even respond. I said, when you go to build a mud house,
mm-hmm.
you don't wear a white shirt.
Yeah,
you know. So I expected the mud.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't care about it. But the point that I'm trying to make here is that those freedoms that people like Raila fought for,
yes,
we should not abuse them to destroy our nation.
No,
you know, what did the guests who came from other countries
mm-hmm.
think of us at a funeral service? With that kind of behavior.
I'm just thinking of kutetea wa Kenya. Maybe that's a very small percentage because we are very good people here, Bishop. You know, now when you ask if like that.
If I come to your house.
Yes.
Shiko.
Mm-hmm.
And one of your children, maybe you have 6 children. But one of your children
yes.
runs around the sitting room, breaking things, jumping on the chair, coming, sitting on my feet. Will I go away thinking it is just this one?
No.
The others 5 must be good.
No.
No.
Mm-hmm.
I just leave there thinking, surely she go. She has no control of her children.
Children, yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
It will give me a very bad impression of you. So, yes, the majority of Kenyans are very good.
Mm-hmm.
But the few are giving us a bad name. Online
mm-hmm.
and now on occasions like we have had.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think, kindly tell us about freedom. You talked about our freedom should be with responsibility. Just in a few seconds, tell us what the Bible has to say and what maybe we should do.
No, freedom, freedom, the very word freedom,
mm-hmm.
puts on you responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I normally say
mm-hmm.
the only freedom that you can enjoy is the freedom of a fish in a pond.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when a fish is in the pond, it has that freedom to swim this way, to swim that way, to swim the other way. The moment it decides that this pond is too small, it wants to jump out.
Mm-hmm.
And it dares to jump out. It is dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You say, why am I being confined to this small space, mm-hmm. you know.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then it jumps out. The moment you jump out, you are dead.
Mm-hmm.
And those boundaries mm-hmm. of the pond are what helps the fish to enjoy freedom.
Okay.
So our freedom must have boundaries. We cannot breach those boundaries and still think we can enjoy freedom. The moment you breach boundaries of freedom, you kill yourself. And that is what we are doing. We are breaching the boundaries of freedom.
Mm-hmm.
In the spirit of I'm free to do anything, I can go anywhere, I can do anything, I can say anything, who are you, and so on and so forth, we die.
Mm-hmm.
We die as a society. You have seen what is happening on our roads.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are dying.
Very true.
We are dying because we got to that place where people do not keep the traffic rules.
Mm-hmm.
Traffic rules were not put there to stop us from going where we want to go.
No.
They were put there
mm-hmm.
to bring order.
Yes.
So that everybody can drive or walk or run to where they want to go in an orderly manner, and we all get there.
Yes.
The moment people feel like now these traffic lights are stopping me from where I need to go,
mm-hmm.
and they go through them. The moment somebody says, this keeping left is denying my freedom, mm-hmm. I will keep right, and they start driving on the right-hand side, you die as a nation.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we become ungovernable because
yes.
someone else will come and say, I know the Bible tells me not to steal, but I want to.
Yeah, I'm not stealing. I'm only taking that which...
Yes.
So freedom comes with responsibility. Freedom works best
mm-hmm.
within boundaries.
Yes.
That is when freedom works.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the problems, I have been in Naivasha Road
mm-hmm.
and stayed there for 5 hours. On traffic
mm-hmm.
on a Sunday evening. Why? Because we were not willing to follow the laid down traffic rules.
Yes.
Somebody decided they are going to drive off the road, they are going to drive on the wrong side of the road.
They decided they're in a hurry.
They're in a hurry. And normally they are not in a hurry to anywhere, by the way.
Yes.
Then now they block people and people keep blocking and keep blocking, and we were there for over 5 hours.
Wow.
Because of one person, two people, three people who could not, who wanted to enjoy their freedom to move
mm-hmm.
at the way they want, in the way they want, at the time they want, and the speed they want. Then the rest, everybody is stuck, including them, many times.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, if every one of us just followed the line, and it is moving slowly.
But we will eventually get
there. We will eventually get there,
yes.
All of us.
Mm-hmm.
So freedom always comes with that responsibility. Rules, laws, and regulations
mm-hmm.
are meant to help us enjoy our freedom.
Amen.
Yes.
You mentioned something about Paul saying not everything is...
All things are permissible,
yes.
But not everything is... profitable.
Wow.
That is what freedom is all about. So, mm-hmm. yes, you are free to enjoy whatever you want to enjoy,
mm-hmm.
but just know that not everything is profitable and not everything is going to be of benefit.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Wow.
So, I think I would say part of the legacy we can give honor and respect we can give to Honorable Raila
mm-hmm.
people and the people who fought for our freedom is to use that freedom responsibly.
Yes.
Yes. Then now we can say, you know, the freedom we are enjoying today
mm-hmm.
is because of men and women like, you know.
Honorable Raila.
Honorable
wow.
Raila. Yeah. Mm. Well, we have talked just one point on Raila's leadership.
No, it was not. You talked about he was a principled man. He loved justice. You talked about democracy
mm-hmm.
and now the freedoms.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
It's true.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about the struggle for justice, the mm-hmm. struggle for democracy.
Mm-hmm.
And those are things he went to the grave fighting for, mm-hmm. and seeking for us to enjoy that space.
Bishop?
And, yes.
You know, I saw something. Mm-hmm. You mentioned about a young generation that doesn't understand what people had to go through. I saw a clip of him saying he keeps wiping his eye because of the torture he had to endure.
Mm-hmm.
He also talked about 8 years he was detained. He lost his mother, didn't know, only to come out and being told, your mom died. I think the mom and another relative.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes when I'm just going to ask you shortly, if you can tell a young person who is saying, Bishop, we don't understand what this man and many others may have gone through to get our freedom. But if you know how your freedom was achieved, then you would be careful how you use it. So please, if you can, I know I'm...
No problem. No, it is Mashuja Day.
Yes, please tell some of these young people that this freedom, like you said, some people died, but if you can, for the late Raila, what are some of the things that he went through to get our freedom today?
Well, you have listed some of them. Detention was one of them. Mm-hmm. He was detained for several years.
Yes.
And just fighting for those freedoms.
Yes, yes.
And detention is not an enjoyable thing.
No.
You know, it's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
When you are taken away from society and it is unjustly, you see, detention is not the same as being taken to prison.
Oh yeah.
You know, when you're taken to prison, you have gone through the justice system.
They found you
and
guilty.
They found you guilty, and therefore you are taken into prison.
Yes.
Detention, you go there without any kind of justice process. So somebody just feels you are a nuisance. It's what we call today abductions.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you are abducted and you disappear to nowhere, you know?
8 years.
And those days, because nobody could talk.
Mm-hmm.
You see,
these days, people will talk.
These days, when there's an abduction or when there's somebody disappears, everybody's making noise about it.
Yes.
Those days you couldn't, because you will also go. Yeah. So those days you couldn't. So people will just be whispering, Raila has been taken, you know, but we don't know where he is. And you can't say anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the situation that we were in. In fact, the only people who could stand up were church leaders. Those are the people who really spoke out again on behalf of the people.
And some of them died. I remember one, I can't remember his name, but he was from Kalenjin land.
Yeah, Muge, yeah, Alexander Muge. Alexander Muge was killed in that process of speaking out. And so people like Alexander Muge, people like Bishop Okulu, people like Ndingi Mwananzeki, people like Gitari, those are the voices of the time that could dare to speak, especially because of the backing of the church and the possible backlash that would come should they be attacked. But they were also attacked. They were beaten up. People like Njoya were beaten up, you know?
Yes.
So it was a very restricted space so that if you, to use today's language, if you are abducted, you are gone and you could be gone for 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about that, like when for us, when we were in the university, we went on strike and the university was closed for 1.5 years, you know.
Oh, so in other words, when you speak, you end up being the loser.
You become the loser.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the university was closed. And then you are required to report to the chief twice a week. Twice a week, you go to the chief's camp and say, I'm still around. That was to ensure you don't travel back to Nairobi. You know, you go to the village, not your home in Nairobi. You go to the village and you go and register yourself there. And every 2 times a week, there were people who were going to their villages for the first time in their lives because they were born in Nairobi, they grew up here,
mm-hmm.
but the instruction was that you go back to your home village and you report 2 times a week to the chief.
Mm-hmm.
We waited, because usually when there was a strike, they would open after maybe 2 weeks or after a month.
1.5 years.
This time it was 1.5 years.
So this time when the university is opened, you think twice. Before.
Yeah. So that was the environment that we were really living in.
Mm-hmm.
So for someone to stand up and say, we demand that there would be freedoms and, you know, all those things,
mm-hmm.
it took some daring,
yes,
which is another principle of leadership that we were talking. I was going to mention,
mm-hmm.
the whole issue of courage.
He was a courageous man,
very courageous man, mm-hmm. and that is part of the fanatic, if we call it, or cultic following that mm-hmm. Raila enjoys.
Mm-hmm.
Partly is because of courage.
Yes, yes.
There are two leadership virtues that usually stand out in according to leadership studies.
Mm-hmm.
Number one is integrity.
Yes.
Integrity across the world.
Mm-hmm.
People who have been interviewed, when people are asked, what is the one thing that you'd expect of a great leader? Integrity comes number one.
Mm-hmm.
The next one is courage.
Wow.
The ability to stand for what you believe.
Mm-hmm.
The ability to confront situations. The reason that David is known to this day
mm-hmm.
is because he stood up against Goliath.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody know, even non-Christians know the story of David and Goliath.
Yes.
Yeah.
I never looked at it as a story of courage. Wow.
It is a story of courage. Now you look at it from a Christian perspective and maybe you spiritualize it. But
yes.
It's really a story of courage.
Yes.
Of a young boy standing up against the giant,
mm-hmm.
which even the king himself was not courageous enough to go and confront.
True.
So the reason that David stands out through the ages for because centuries was because of his courage.
Wow.
So courage mm-hmm. is a virtue, as a leadership virtue, that will put you to the top.
Mm-hmm.
Even in class, when there is a situation and somebody stands up
mm-hmm.
and speaks on behalf of the others, suddenly that person becomes a leader.
Yeah.
Everybody rallies behind them.
Yes.
So that virtue is a leadership virtue that Raila had
mm-hmm.
and what really shaped his leadership. So that even when he was still in broad-based government, he mm-hmm. could still stand up and speak against the same government.
Yes.
And demand that certain things be done.
Mm-hmm.
Many of us, when we get there,
we keep quiet
because you want to enjoy the perks.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But courageous leadership is mm-hmm. is a leadership principle and practice
mm-hmm.
that will get you very far as a leader.
Yes.
And that was one of his biggest demonstration of leadership.
I think it was Mwai Kibaki who said that bringing, you know, democracy is like cutting a mugumo tree with a wembe.
Yeah.
Yes. To him, it was impossible.
It was.
But for someone like the late Raila, he pushed, he believed. And I think that's also courage, knowing that you cannot, everyone is thinking, hey, this thing is impossible, but you say, no, we will do it.
Mm. Yeah. So that is part of his leadership,
mm-hmm.
what shaped his leadership.
Yes.
That courage, the ability to confront situations, the
mm-hmm.
ability to say no. That courage demonstrated in his life and leadership in two almost opposite ways.
Mm-hmm.
One was the ability to confront
mm-hmm.
And say no
mm-hmm.
and go where people dare not.
Mm-hmm.
But the other aspect of courage that many people may not know see as courage is the ability to embrace your enemy.
Yeah. Because you don't want to even think about them.
Yeah.
Yes, you don't. You know, sometimes even when someone does something wrong, it takes God.
It takes God.
For you to even say hi to them.
But Riley had that courage.
Yes.
To go back to the people who have mistreated him.
Wow.
The people who have done wrong to him. The people who, you know, and come somehow broker a deal.
Mm-hmm.
And begin to work together. That takes courage.
Yes, it does.
How do you, where do you even start? How do you even start?
Mm-hmm.
And like you're saying, for many of us, when we fall out with a friend or with someone, you don't even want to see them.
Yes.
You don't even, some people tell me, even when I hear their name, I get sick.
Yes.
But leadership courage says, you have the capacity to face your enemy.
Wow.
That's part of leadership courage. The capacity to face your enemy and to sort out issues. It takes courage.
Very true.
Because that person could finish you.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm. But you are saying, I'll go to them. You know, or if they come, you are willing to listen to them.
Mm-hmm.
Because some of us, if you just hear that so-and-so is coming, what do they even want?
Tell them I'm not there.
Tell them not there. Tell them not there.
And then the child says, Mom has told me to tell you
that she's not around. So that is is part of ethical leadership.
Yes.
That we talked about earlier. The ability to bring reconciliation, to reconcile with your enemy.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's Roosevelt. I don't remember exactly, but I think it is Roosevelt, one of the presidents of the United States, who said, I finish my enemy by becoming their friend. Yeah.
Wow.
And when you think about it, it is true.
Mm-hmm.
When you become a friend to your enemy, they are no longer an
your enemy.
They are finished.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Very true.
So he said that when, again, I'm saying I'm not, I don't remember correctly whether it was Roosevelt, but one of the presidents of the great president of the United States, he, during his campaign, there was this person on the opposition side who was so against him, called him names, abused him, insulted him, and all kinds of things, you know?
Yes.
And but now when he was forming his government, he wanted a person to be in charge of defense, as you would say, the minister for war, as they used to call them.
Mm-hmm.
And when he looked around, he realized that this guy has everything that I'm looking for.
One who used to abuse him,
insult him, and do all kinds of things on the campaign trail, hated him with perfect hatred. So he told his team that I think so and so would be the best person for this job. They were like, "What? Are you crazy? This is not just a ministry of education. This is a minister for war. They are going to be in charge of the army. This person can kill you." So he said, but I hear you, but this person has all the credentials that I'm looking for, that our country needs. And so against everybody, that's when he said, I finish my enemy by bringing them close to me.
I've Googled that.
Yes.
It is Abraham.
Lincoln.
Yes.
Yes.
Wow.
This Abraham Lincoln.
Powerful.
So he brought this person to be the minister of war. Yeah.
How do you even need God?
That is courage.
Yes.
And somehow Raila seemed to have that.
He did. He did.
You know, he worked with Moi, who put him in detention and tortured him for years. He came out, formed a party. They went to elections. The elections, according to what they say, was rigged.
Mm-hmm.
And then he, somehow they got to talk with Moi, and he folded up his party and joined KANU and became KANU, I think it was Secretary General or whatever. He got a leadership position there. And so they worked with the KANU government.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody was like, how do you join Moi, of all people? You know?
Mm.
But he did. And they worked together until they, you know, when things fell apart.
Yes.
But that's where the Tinga thing came from.
Someone who detained you for 8 years.
Yes. So he, you know, NDP symbol was tractor.
Yes, yes, yes.
So they folded up NDP and joined KANU.
Mm-hmm.
So people were saying that KANU did not remember to switch off the engine of the tractors. It continued roaring.
It continued
inside.
Roaring.
But he had that capacity. So you see him with Moi, you see him with Kibaki, you see him mm-hmm. with Uhuru,
mm-hmm.
and now with Ruto. It takes courage
mm-hmm.
to do that.
Yes.
It takes courage to do that,
mm-hmm.
which many of us as leaders are not able to.
Very true. Wow.
Maybe the last thing I would, we have talked many, not in a very organized manner.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking at, so how did he look at leadership? And I would pick maybe five. Number one is that leadership
mm-hmm.
is moral, pursuing that which is right. It is not just about doing things,
mm-hmm.
but that doing things in the right way. He believed that power should be democratized. And that's where he came up with this idea of devolution.
Mm-hmm.
And what we call in leadership circles as shared leadership.
Mm-hmm.
Shared leadership. He had this phrase that he used to use, first among equals.
Mm-hmm.
That the leader is first among equals.
Wow.
You work together.
Mm-hmm.
So you are the first one.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody, we are team members.
That explains why people who have worked with him, grown men, did you see people crying?
Yeah.
Even you, if you have a very good HR, something happens to them and they were very good, it's unlikely that someone would cry.
Yes.
Wow.
He had that ability.
Mm-hmm.
The other one is about credibility.
Mm-hmm.
Credibility, the little that I said, I didn't interact much with
yes,
him.
Yes, yes.
But there was this one time I still remember.
Mm-hmm.
The nation was in a crisis.
Mm-hmm.
And we as church leaders, we were trying to see how do we sort out this issue.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, you know, the church was really, really strong on this particular matter.
Yes.
And I thought to myself, the only way we can sort this thing out if we talk to Raila.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know where to get him. And I didn't know how to get him.
Yes.
So we tried all ways and means. And finally somebody came,
mm-hmm.
His campaign manager, and he came to my office. I was senior pastor here at Valley Road.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I'll come. Because mm-hmm. I've been told if you are to get the votes of the church, I must talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
I said, wow, somebody must think very highly of me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so I told him I have to see Raila, but I don't know where to get him.
Yes.
I said, I'll make arrangements for you to see him.
Mm-hmm.
Many people had told me that and it never worked.
Mm-hmm.
So one night around past midnight, I get a call and say, can you come now? And I'm like, what? Now, midnight. And the nation was in a very tense situation.
Okay.
So really, you are suspicious of almost everybody.
Yes.
So I talked with my wife. I said, do you think I should go?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know these people. And they are taking me to Raila's home. I'd never been there before. I don't know where it is. I only knew that it was in Karen. So we prayed together and said, you go. You have been looking for this opportunity. You go.
Mm-hmm.
It was that time I couldn't even get someone to go with me. So I was just alone. So they said, can we come for you? I said, no, I'll drive myself.
Mm-hmm.
The idea was if I see them, I would take off. So yes. I followed them. You know, I used to think the Karen that Raila lived at was this Karen, near Karen shopping center. Mm-hmm. So when we passed there and we headed towards Ngong, and those days Ngong was known as the place where people were slaughtered, I just felt, mm-hmm. Where are these people taking me? Anyway, so we finally went and got to his place, and it was around 1 something going to 2. The place was teeming with activity as if it was early morning.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was early morning, but not the morning.
We are used to.
So finally, I was taken in, and we went into his room, a private office, and we were just the two of us.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him what was happening, and I told him what we think he should do. And he was very surprised at what I was telling him, because mm-hmm. from where he sat, that was not where they were.
Mm-hmm.
And so he told me, you know what? I'm very surprised at what you have said. But tomorrow morning, I'm going to issue a statement and correct that situation. And we are going to change course.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, of course, politicians talk like that. But the following morning at 10 o'clock, he actually called a press conference and issued a statement on a matter that was of great concern to the nation.
Mm-hmm.
And it was sorted out. And I thought to myself, just poor me, little pastor in Sitambale Road. How could such a person listen to me?
Mm-hmm.
And he gave me his word that he's going to call a press conference at 10 o'clock, and he actually did.
Man of his word.
Man of his word.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you find many times when he has made a commitment
mm-hmm.
to a person, it becomes very difficult for him to change and do otherwise.
Yeah.
So even in the current situation, you know, there's this whole debate about broad-based government and so on. Many people thought after the AU thing, he would just go his way.
Mm-hmm.
But it's amazing. He's stuck with it against many people's feelings,
yes.
You know, and, mm. and expectations.
Mm.
And so the whole issue of credibility,
mm-hmm.
Again, as I said, I haven't given this very serious thought. I'm just talking off the top of my head. From a leadership lens, it could be there. The last is the whole issue of identifying with the ordinary person,
mm-hmm.
which in transformational leadership we talk about individualized consideration.
Yes.
One of the things that have amazed me, and I've said this before,
mm-hmm.
because I've been a leader at different levels myself,
mm-hmm.
but his capacity to be everywhere where things are happening.
Yeah.
You know, there's a fire in Madare,
mm-hmm.
and he's there. There's something, somebody has lost someone,
yeah.
he's there, and so on. And I'm thinking for myself, I don't have that capacity. I don't have the time.
Yes.
Even my members, I hear so-and-so has lost a loved one.
Mm-hmm.
I really want to go and visit with them and sit with them. But just the number of things that are tying me down.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not able to go. But I don't know where he used to get the time and to adjust his program to be able to go down to where things are happening for the ordinary person.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's why the ordinary people really identified with him.
Yes.
That is a great leadership capacity that many of us could do with but don't have. Certainly not me.
Wow. I'm also thinking about the way he called you. You are called into his home. That time, a lot of people would say it's not time for me to have meetings.
Yes.
Yes.
It is true.
Mm-hmm.
It's true. Well, we have talked much. We have not even given our listeners opportunity to say anything.
Possibly I can mention a few comments here. There's someone who is saying, happy Mashujaa Day to all. Please shake firmly the hand of the good bishop when he comes by later. They don't say,
an old one.
This is Ibrahim, but I don't know. He has not written his name. Someone else saying, happy Mashujaa Day. I'm listening to you from Syokimau. Greet for me the bishop. He's making me understand more about leadership. There's someone else who has made me laugh here, saying, I'm loving the conversation with Bishop Emeritus. Where I live, our court watchman in Buruburu is Luo, and he ensured that every car parked had a matawi to mourn Raila, whether you wanted the matawi or not. Yes. And she's saying some people took offense, but I think that was that man's way of mourning. Yes. This Joski Shams, who is saying, we need Bishop back on X. Yeah, and
we'll
someone else saying, Bishop Emeritus, thank you for the insightful lesson. Comment on leaderless Gen Z. It is the cause of lawlessness. This is Bwire.
I don't know that it is the cause of lawlessness. Mm-hmm. Lawlessness is not just with Gen Z.
Eh?
It is all of us.
A lot of us are thinking it is Gen Z's alone.
No. I just before we went for break.
Yes.
I had started saying, I think we talked off air.
Yes.
But I mentioned that when we were in in Nyayo Stadium,
yes.
I told you what happened there. And
yes.
Many of us as leaders were really disturbed.
Mm-hmm.
So as we stepped out, mm-hmm. About three of us were talking
mm-hmm.
and saying, where did we lose it as a nation?
Yes.
And they told me, you, pastor,
mm-hmm.
you need to talk to the church to do something about this.
Mm-hmm.
So I told him mm-hmm. that what is happening in the country
yes.
is across the country. It is not young people.
Mm-hmm.
What is happening is that we are lacking role models. The teacher...
Mm-hmm.
When we were growing up, the teacher was a significant person in terms of shaping values,
yes,
discipline, decorum, and all those things. We, mm-hmm. The teacher made a lot of difference in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
There are things that I do today because my teacher at primary school said I must do.
Mm-hmm.
Standing up when an older person or a senior person comes in. These days, they just give you their hand. You know?
Yeah, we used to stand.
You stand
yes.
and put your right hand, or your left hand on your right hand as you're greeting.
Yes.
Those things were taught by teachers.
Mm-hmm.
Now teachers are the ones who are carrying twigs and rolling on the streets when they are on a demonstration demanding their rights. How do you go back to class
mm-hmm.
and tell your students they cannot carry twigs and roll on the floor?
You have led them by example.
You have led them by example.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking about doctors.
Yes.
I mean, when somebody was known as a doctor, that word,
mm-hmm.
you expected certain things of that person.
Mm-hmm.
They are not ordinary.
Yes.
Now I see doctors dancing, jumping. I know they need to fight for their rights. That
yes.
is true.
Mm-hmm.
But how you do it must be with some level of decorum
mm-hmm.
that is worthy and befitting of your profession.
Yes.
So that we take you seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Politicians. Leaders of our nation.
They are the ones who are abusing people.
They are abusing one another and fighting with chairs and pouring water on each other in parliament. So what do you expect? Who is going to talk to our younger people? We have shown them that this is the way to sort yourself out. This is the way to do things. We use foul language in our National Assembly. We use foul language when we are fighting for our rights. We call each other names. We go to social media and people that you respect use their social media handles to insult and to use abusive language and so on. So where is the young person, the child, going to learn to behave in the right way?
Maybe from people like Dr. Bishop David Oginde. People like him.
I'm not saying everybody's bad.
Yes.
But the few good people that are still left around, they are drowned in the noise.
Oh, yeah.
The only voices you hear are the people who are making noise and calling each other name and doing all crazy things and so on. We laugh about things we should not laugh. But, yeah.
People even make fun of death these days.
I was speaking at Chebukati's funeral. And I was very saddened again that there are people who actually celebrated his death. Serious. I'm not saying he was right or he was wrong. When a person dies, a person has died.
Yes.
Please, if you have nothing to say, don't say it. Let the family mourn. But to celebrate his death, to call his family names and so on, it is crazy.
It is.
It is bad.
Bishop, time is not on our side. Let's give way to the news. Possibly you would like to say a prayer shortly?
Okay, if there is time. We come before you, Heavenly Father, as we listen to your voice in the midst of the many things that are happening around us. We are in that time of mourning of the late Honorable Raila Odinga, who provided leadership in his own way. Some of us may not agree with the things that he did or said. Some of us are at the point of even worshiping him. Lord, we pray that you help us. Help us to lift up our eyes to you, to know that this nation is in your hands. And you are going to take it forward in your own way. Thank you for the gift that you gave us through him. But we pray that you will also raise up men and women who can lead us in the right way, so that we can be the kind of people that you intended us to be. Be with us this afternoon. We also thank you for the great men and women that are being celebrated today on this Mashujaa Day. May your name be honored and be glorified, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. I'm sorry we've taken a few minutes, but it was important because we will never have a day like this again. Allow me to usher in Melissa in just a few minutes. Later, kindly watch out for Mankaris coming up with Afternoon Switch.
Inaendeshwa na AfriPods.